Blog Talk Radio.
Giving them higher partner and promoting the greater good of the nation. Minister Bill Hayes, thank you a lot for your love and great work. Thank you for September 27th, time to begin.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon, everybody. How's everybody doing? Come on in. What y'all doing, everybody, today? And in the air conditioner, what? Kind of wanted to come today, huh? Huh? I'm fun. They hide from the S-O-N. They might be able to hide from the C-F-U-N, but they can't hide from the S-O-N. They still, they know what they're, know what they're doing. Give everybody a chance to get some water and get situated. Hey, want some water? Just hold your hand up. Got a brother pass me to get some water. It gets to you. Thank you. All right, all right. Most of you guys know who I am, Minister Daryl Kendrick. I was just here last Thursday, back again, praise God. Nobody bumped me off or I didn't drop dead, and y'all didn't send out a hit squad on me, praise God. It's good to see y'all again. Praise the Lord. I know some of y'all are hot. They pass some water around. Raise your hand if you want some water. Let's be courteous and respectful to everybody in the chapel today. Let's get along, all right? But before we get started with the message, let's go before the Lord in prayer. Invite him in. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, Lord God, of gathering in your word with your Holy Spirit. We come before you, Lord God, as just to hear from you, Lord God, to hear from heaven, that you would give us strength, you give us encouragement, Lord, that you would help us prepare our lives for home. We pray, Lord God, for those that do not have a relationship with you, do not know you, that this would be the opportunity, Lord God, that they would truly consider their ways and consider the one who is able to save their soul, give them life and life more abundantly, Lord. We pray, Father God, for those who may be prodigal children right now who have walked away, that this might be a day, Lord, that they come home and return to the Father's love through the Son, Jesus Christ. We ask, Father God, that we would decrease, that you would increase, and that the Spirit of God would have his way with us this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. Right. Well, for many of you who know that I kind of been really talking about us having, you know, being prepared. The last message I spoke about, I was talking about, you know, being prepared. And today is going to be, again, about being prepared because, friends, again, there's another storm out there on the East Coast right now. You know, just went through, you know, the islands and Puerto Rico and headed up into Haiti now and Cuba and, again, friends, you know, the Word of God continues to show itself as true and as authentic as your daily newspaper. You know, we live in some trying times. We're living in some very harsh times, and these times are really setting the stage for us to get our house in order, spiritually speaking. You know, you can go out there and, you know, you can do whatever you do, but where will you spend eternity is the key question. And are you prepared if Jesus Christ was to come back? Are you prepared for that return? Is your house in order spiritually? Do you have a relationship with him? It's not about where you're living right now. It's about where you're going to live for eternity. But there's eternal life. There's an eternity we're going to live in. Whether you believe it or not, there's an eternal damnation and there's eternal salvation. And the choice is right now, the choices that we're with, how we live today, can determine where we're going to be at tomorrow. Amen? So I wanted to kind of continue that thought, and I believe the Lord put it on my mind, is that, you know, are we prepared for the imminent return of Jesus Christ? Do we believe that Jesus Christ is going to come back? Or is that just some kind of myth or some kind of mysticism or, man, I care less, I just want my food, you know, just feed me. Well, you're going to get fed today, but we got to have a spiritual food first. I'm not here to make you believe anything I say. I'm not here to try to twist your arm or break your leg or say we're not going to feed you unless you hear this. But I am here to just encourage you to listen to the words that I say, because they're not my words. They're God's words. I didn't write the Bible. I don't have no heaven or hell to put nobody in. I just want to make sure that when I die, I go there. I want to make sure that when you die, that you had an opportunity to go there. That you can make your, you can change your direction today. And you can change who you will put your faith in or what you put your faith in. So we need to understand that Christ is coming very soon. The signs on the wall, the writing is on the wall, it's all around us. We're living in some crazy, crazy times. But one thing we can know for sure is that we have a Lord, his name was Jesus Christ, who died over 6,000 years ago for your sins. And if you would trust him by faith, you can have a personal relationship with him, and you can have eternal life today. Before you leave here, you can make sure that your sins are forgiven and that you have been declared righteous. That's what the word justification means. It means that you have been pardoned from all your wrongdoing and all everything you've ever done wrong. Now, that doesn't mean you accept him and then go on back out to do it wrong. That means that you accept him, that you accept the responsibility. Now, I no longer want to live like I used to. I no longer want to live separated from God, but I want to live in full, in a relationship with him. And I want to have an ongoing relationship with him. So, we live in a day in which the times in which we live, the world has fallen deeper and deeper into sin than at any other time since the creation of mankind. People have forgotten all about God. Really, what they do, according to Romans 1, though, is they suppress the truth. It's kind of like they take the truth. They know what 2 plus 2 is, but they want to argue with you and say, no, it's 8. You know it's 4. Mathematics, science tell us it's 4, but they'll argue with you tooth and nail and create their own view or own logic. Well, just the same thing they do with God. They know there is a God, but they haven't forgotten about him. They just suppress him. They don't want to think about God because then they have to think about the consequences that God has set up. See, if I make you think there is no God, then you don't have to be responsible for your actions. If people go around convincing themselves in their own mind, Psalm 14:1 says, the fool says in his heart there is no God. Think about a fool. The word fool in the Hebrew means we get moroni, which is moron. Nobody wants to be called a fool. But that's what you're basically saying. When you say there is no creator, you're basically saying that I just believe this stuff just popped up there, the skies, the stars. Why are those stars up there and they haven't fallen to the ground? Come on. What's keeping them up there? And what's keeping us from floating away to the stars? God, people have forgotten about the God that they claim that does not exist. They haven't really, like I said, they don't want to acknowledge him, because if I have to acknowledge him, I have to acknowledge the consequences when he tells me that I need to live a certain way and a certain structure for me to get to heaven. And then they go on, the United States government has passed laws which forbid his holy word from being read in our public schools and in government now. They don't like the fact when you pray, have a national day of prayer. This past Sunday, they declared Sunday a national day of prayer for the city of Houston or the state of Texas because of the floods and the hurricanes that had taken place. And like I shared with you last week, I have a daughter that lives there. I lived there for almost 12 years. I have a daughter that lives there. I have family and friends that live there. So they are living in a real-life situation right now, and these are part of the cataclysmic storms that are going to take place as we continue to live on this earth. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes and famines. These things are real-life events. They're not what you see on these Hollywood pictures. They are happening right now, friends. All around the world we're living in. And a lot of times, the news won't show it to you. You have to go on the internet and really see what's really going on in this world. That there's a lot of things happening around us. And everything that needs to happen before Christ comes has already happened. We don't need to wait for another sign. We're living in the last day. So we want to make sure that this is not our last day, not just for earth. I'm not, like I shared last week, I'm not worried about dying. Dying is the easy part, but when I have to stand before my judge, where will he sentence me to? Where will he tell me, will he invite me into his kingdom, or will he say, depart from me, I never knew you? We need to make sure our house is in order. And we live in a time, like I said, they don't want us to talk about God in public places. They don't want you to pray. That's something happened here in Los Angeles. You'll have people, well, we want to have a moment of silence. Silence? Man, I want to talk about God now. I need to know what's going to happen. You want to tell? I want to just, let's just go and just be quiet. No. That's the time we need to be making a noise. We don't want to wait till the next event happens to make the noise. We want to let people know now is the day of salvation. Now is the day of he can come at any given time. And then I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter because you live down here that you're any less important in God's kingdom. He doesn't care about how much you got or how much you don't have. What he does care about, do you have a personal relationship with his son, Jesus Christ? Has your sins been forgiven? He wants to clean you up from the inside, on the inside of you, because you can't clean yourself up. None of us can. If we could, we wouldn't need God. If we could fix our own problems, the whole world would be in order, right? But is it in order? No, it's not. It's not in order, friend. And it's not going to get any in order until God comes back and he separates the wheat from the chaff. So right now, God is trying to tell us something, that we're living in these last days. He's coming back soon. It's almost become a disgrace in the eyes of God how that the human race has attempted to almost completely erase and remove Christian principles from the earth. They don't want you to talk about it. Look, you can talk about God. They don't mind you saying the word God. But see, when you distinguish that and say Jesus Christ, oh, yeah, that's the name that's feared and that's the name that's hated by the devil. See, because everybody got a God. My phone could be a God. It could be. For some of y'all, y'all phones might be God. You lose it and you start looking all under rocks and cracks and crevices for it. You won't do that for your Bible, but you'll look for this, though. Where's my phone? How about where's my Bible? We got all kinds of gods, idols that we make out of this world. It can be anything. Money, your kids, your lover, him or her. We are living in a post-Christian world. And they don't want to hear nothing about the God that we serve when his name is Jesus. They don't want to hear about him. They want us to be silent when it comes to Jesus because they know that name is above all other names. And I'm going to tell you, friends, when you get real with God, God will start showing you who's really your friend and who's really not. When you talk about God, it's one thing. But when you start to live it out and Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, he's your master and ruler, and you are continuing to grow in this relationship that you claim you have, and people start to see If you don't do the things that you used to do, then they get mad. They get mad because you don't run with them no more. You don't hang out no more. You're not smoking with them no more. You're not drinking with them no more. You're not laying up with them no more. Oh, they get mad at you. You become public enemy number one on their list. I tell you a true story. I was staying with my brother a couple years ago in Arlington, Texas. And he knew I was a Christian. But, again, anytime you decide to do the right thing, the devil always trying to drag you back. And my brother, he wanted to use me as his wingman to cheat on his girlfriend. So, hey, let me, hey, man, we need to go hang out. I don't hang out no more, bro. I go to church. Oh, man, I ain't talking about going to no club. Let's go to a sports bar or something. I ain't got no money for all that. I ain't got no money for that. But see, I was there with him about a month and a half. By the time that fourth or fifth week came up, and every day or every week he was asking me on his off days, let's go hang out. And the more I kept saying, dude, I don't have no money to do all that. Now, see, I'm trying to get a job. He don't want to take me to get a job, but he want to take me to the bar or to hang out at some female's house or hang out with him so he can go creep around. That would have been fine. He would have supported that. But he didn't want to support me in trying to find work. Trying to get back on my feet. I'm trying to do the right thing, take care of my family, get on, do what I needed to do to get ahead. But no, anytime you're trying to do the right thing, the devil wants to knock you down. Well, it got to the point where he didn't like the light in the house no more because, see, when the devil, because he runs in darkness, he don't want nothing that's going to expose who he really is. And you know, it hurt my heart because now I went up there to stay with him because I was kind of in a very critical situation. I had just had my 17th heart attack at that time, and I had to move out of the place I was staying at, and I wasn't able to drive and get back to work right away during that time. I didn't know if I was going to be able to go back to truck driving or not. But he basically, wanted to bite me. Now, I haven't done nothing to you. I came here. I'm not doing anything to you personally. But because I won't participate in that evil that you want, now I'm your enemy. Because I can't support you in your evil and your evil demise. Now I'm your enemy. And see, this is what the devil wants to do. He doesn't want us to be fruitful for the Lord. He wants us to be fruitful in darkness and wickedness. And that's what he wants to do. He don't want us to be prepared for the kingdom. Or he wants us to be prepared for hell because this is where he knows he's going. Satan knows he's going to hell. There's no doubt in our minds that Satan knows where he's going to spend eternity. So guess what? If I know I'm going to spend eternity somewhere and there's nothing I can do about it, what do you think I'm going to try to do? I'm trying to get me some company. Try to get somebody that can join me for the party. I want somebody that I can deceive and trip up. And this is what we have to watch out for, so-called friends. In these last days, we got to be, if we're going to be prepared for the return of Jesus Christ, if we're going to be prepared and have our house in order, friends, that means that it's a daily walk. It's a daily walk. You cannot be a Sunday morning professing Christian. That's like being an actor. See, there's a lot of Hollywood actors. You know, you might say, how many of y'all know the Iron Man movie? You know? the man that plays Iron Man, he's not really Iron Man. He don't walk around in a suit all day. That's not his 24/7 job. When he come out of costume, he's a human being. Iron Man is not a real character. It's fictional. It's make-believe. That's how some of Christians are. They fictional. They got the identity badge. They want to carry the Bible. They want to be real spiritual on Sunday. They want to cry and fall out on Sunday. What about the rest of the week? If you're just a Sunday morning Christian, then what do you really got? Well, I did my worship for the week. I'm back at the world. Back at the world. So we need to be prepared, friends, because we're living in a time where, again, they don't want to hear about the Christ that we say we know, the one that we say owns us, the one that we say that we have a personal relationship with him. And as I shared last week, it's like a marriage. I've said this several times. If you treat Christ like you treat your marriage, well, because see, if he's the God of all creation, if he's our Lord and Savior, how are we going to justify treating him worse than we treat humans? How are we going to justify that? How are you going to be able to stand before him on judgment day and say, oh, Lord, I didn't know what I was doing? The Bible says that none of us have any excuse according to Romans chapter 1. None of us have any excuse when it comes to what's right and what's wrong. We know because God says he's put it in us. He's put his very word in our spirit, in our soul. We know what's right and wrong is. We know exactly what we're doing when we do it. And friends, we need to understand this. We live in a post-Christian world where the world is becoming more and more dark when it comes to religion and atheism. There's a lot of people out here that deny God because what do they basically want? They want a world where they're their own God. They want to be in charge. Pharaoh thought he was a God. When he stood against Moses, before Moses had came back from out in the wilderness, when Moses came out of the wilderness and came down to Pharaoh's house, and he went there, Moses showed him who God was. But see, he didn't want to let go of his identity. Pharaoh didn't. He didn't want to acknowledge the supreme being, God Almighty. Why? Because he was so full of himself, so full of pride. And some of us right now are full of pride. We won't let go of this world, the flesh, or the devil because we love being our own God. We love being in control of our lives. But ask yourself, brothers and sisters, ask yourself, how is that working out for you? Are you really getting what you want out of life by trying to run over God or supersede God's word? Are you free? See, because what you might call freedom is more of the flesh. Yeah, you might be free to do what you want to do out here, but when you're alone at night, when it's just you and God, when it's your conscience, what are you thinking about? What are you really thinking about? Again, friends, people are filing complaints with our public courts just because others have the Ten Commandments posted on their private property or in publicly inhabited places. What a shameful disgrace. This is because the world is so full of atheists or heathens who do not even believe in God Almighty. And because their lives are so controlled and empowered by the devil, they do not want anyone who does have the faith and courage to believe in God to be able to speak his name either. Like I said, you mentioned the name of Jesus, that right there gets people to look at you. Oh, separation of church and state. Well, what if God separated himself from earth and heaven? What if he stopped giving us air to breathe down here? You know, people talk about separation of church and state. Think about how foolish that sounds. The very God who gives you air to breathe and blood that flows through your body. But you're going to tell them, oh, you can't talk about religion. Not that I am talking about religion. I'm talking about a relationship. That's the difference between people who don't know God. But this is what they want. They want you to basically act like God does not exist when he's giving you the very air to breathe. Because if any given time, every time somebody has a heart attack, man, what is God is cutting off your air supply, your blood supply. God stops you for a moment, makes you think. Lets you know that what's going on in the inside of us, we ain't in control of that. You have an ache, you have a pain. You don't sit there and say, I really don't have an ache or a pain. Somebody shoots you. I didn't really get shot, man. No, it's not. Come on now. We all know what it feels like. When you feel pain, it's real, right? Somebody punched you in the head, hit you upside the head or something. You felt that. You're not going to act like it didn't happen. We want to act like there is no God. That's again, the mindset of the enemy to try to get us not to be prepared. Not to be prepared. See, because preparation means that I'm going to be ready not just today because I heard the news saying something was going to happen, but I want to be ready every day because I might not hear the news tomorrow. I might not hear the news next week or next month. I might not hear the news for another 50 days, but I want to be ready. I can still be ready. I can still have my spiritual house in order today all the way for the rest of this year because every day I'm going to make sure that I am living for the one who gives me life and breath on a daily basis. And it's not just about life down here. This is not my final frontier. One day I'm going to home. All of us, everyone who claims to be a Christian should be homesick. You should be homesick.
Amen.
If you think this is the best that God has for you, you really haven't read your Bible. You have not really truly embraced what God has for you and all of the blessings that come with that. See, being one who is born again means that not only are you saved on this side, but when you get to heaven, your life is not going, your body is not going to be the same body that you left here with. It's not going to be the same body. It's not going to have all the problems that it had down here. You're not going to have to worry about where you're going to sleep at. God has a bed for you and a special room for you. You have your own room. When you check in, you don't check out. When you check in with Jesus, see, it's checking in though, but you got to check in on this side. You can't wait to stand before him and say, well, I'll just ask the Lord when I get there. Lord, can I come in? No, it don't work like that. Faith means that I'm going to trust him today on this side. I want to trust him right now. And I want to make sure that I'm ready no matter what my circumstances is, no matter where I'm living at, no matter how poor I am. I don't have to be beat down by the cares of this world if I'm truly his. I don't have to have drugs. I don't have to be controlled by drugs, alcohol, sex, gambling. I don't have to be controlled by any of those things. I make a choice every single day. I struggle with the same things you struggle with. I do. I don't want nobody to think that I'm here like I got it all together, like I have it all together. Hey, I was 40-something years into this before God woke me up. A 44-year-old fool, dead in my sin, picking up hookers, addicted to porn, drinking, smoking cigarettes. I should be dead alone from cancer. But God, who was rich in mercy, while I was yet dead in my sin, he died for me. Even before the foundations of the world, God already had me in mind. He already had a plan for me before I even was born. Before I was a thought in my mother's or father's eyes, he had a plan for me. And he allowed me to live a life that was self-destructive for a season. Some of you have been living a life of self-destruction for a season. And God is telling you right now to wake up and come home. Now you can say, go home with me. When you come to Jesus, you come home. When you truly give it to Jesus, You no longer living for this world, but you're living for the world that comes after death on this side of the world. Because you can bet, since I've been speaking, the mortgage just had another body come to it. Before the night is up, there'll be other people in the morgue. Because death don't stop. Death don't stop. Do you understand that? You're not promised tomorrow. You know, I don't even know if I'll finish this sermon. I was told, was it a week ago, Tuesday? No, Wednesday. Somebody passed out right in here, didn't they? Was somebody here when that happened? Somebody passed out right here. I don't know if that person made it. You don't know. I don't know. Do y'all know if that person made it? Okay, he made it. How many people passed out that didn't? How many people have died that didn't? See, death is not promised. I mean, life is not promised every day that we live down here. Any given time, it can knock at our door, at the door of our life. Because, see, that dash that's on your tombstone, that's just a dash. That's how short your life is. Doesn't matter how what you consider numbers. When it's all said and done, see, at the end, we're sad when people die. But if somebody dies in Christ, I'm not as sad as I used to be. I'm not sad. You know why? Because I can rejoice because that person went home. They had a personal relationship with Jesus. They lived it out. And God was directing and guiding their steps. They weren't perfect. They weren't sinless. But they made acknowledgement that, Lord, I know that I can't do anything except through Christ who strengthens me. They weren't trying to strengthen themselves. They weren't hooking themselves up to some jumper cable trying to get a pulse. Jesus gave them a pulse. And you have to ask yourself, if you were to die today, how do you know you would get the glory? How do you know that you would be accepted into God's family? How do you know you're on the team, or did you get cut? See, a lot of people, they're under the assumption because they got water baptized, they sung in the choir, their mama was a preacher, their daddy was a preacher, uncle was a preacher, grandpa was a preacher. Oh, that was good for them, but that don't do nothing for you. You don't rub off being a Christian. I can't bump up into you and you become a Christian. I don't just bump up or touch you and you become saved. So this is a personal relationship. But it's not just saying a word. It's not just confessing and then walking away, walking off and just go right back, or there's never been any change. And we know better than this because when we were kids, or some of y'all might have raised some kids here, I'm sure you have, you told your kid to behave a certain way, and when they didn't, there were consequences, right?
Right.
Nowadays, you know, I don't know how that goes because a lot of times these parents seem to be doing a whole timeout thing, grown-ups. You know, the kids basically tell them, no, I'm not timing out nothing. I'm just going to, you know, go on, leave me alone. That's how a lot of these kids now that they talk to their parents. They have no fear of authority. And I guess that's why we have such a broken down, we see so many kids now in juvenile homes because they don't fear authority. It's okay to steal, kill, and rob. Take what's not yours. But it used to be a time, and I'm 51, but it used to be a time when we actually feared our parents. We actually feared the man of the household. And mamas, too. And it was times when parents didn't care what they hit you with. They didn't care what they hit you with. A shoe could come around the corner. It's like it had radar. It'd come around and find you. Come on now, y'all know what I'm talking about. Skillet, broomstick. I remember watching one of my great grandmother. I remember her had my aunt pinned up against the wall. See, it wasn't child abuse then. It was just discipline. At least at that time, when they did something, they snuck and did it. But now we live in a society now where nobody fears nobody. And especially God. Especially God. And we see these rebels running out in the street, lawlessness. It's all through the land. Lawlessness is all through the land. It's not going to get better, friends. It's going to get worse. The Bible tells us that in the last day, that the love of most will wax cold, and we're living in it. Just look at the news. They don't care. And we need to get back to what the Bible says, the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Because people don't fear God, that's why there's no urgency to surrender yourself to God. You know, you got people, they go to church on Sunday and they debate whether they'll go or not go. It's not really an option anymore because I don't want to hear another message. Oh, well, you're just going to talk about the same thing. Oh, well, I'm missing my football game, basketball game, hockey game, tennis match, golf, whatever. But see, friends, this is a danger. Because one day you're going to miss when Christ comes back to get his church. Because it wasn't that big of a deal to you. You wasn't really concerned about it. You thought you had time. See, people down in Houston, and I'm not mocking this, but people down in Houston, they didn't think that storm that came up on the water, that washed up in the city of Houston and flooded and still has most of the city underground, they didn't think that storm was going to come up that far. They've had a lot of storms, a whole lot of storms, but never in history had the flood ever put 75% of Houston underwater. Now, when you got two-story apartment complex where you can only see the roof, that's a pretty big storm. They don't care. People thought they had time. And see, this is where God is trying to get our attention. He says he doesn't want anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. Repentance means he wants us to change our way of thinking about who he is and what he's calling us to. He wants us to worship him. He wants us to have a personal relationship with him. He wants us to be prepared before the next storm comes, because there is another one coming. There's another storm coming. Physically, spiritually, emotionally, there's going to be storms that's going to come. How you handle that storm will determine who is the one you put your faith in. Because if you put it in yourself, you're limited. You're limited. And if you're high and drunk and feeling all, you know, you're all on some kind of narcotic, you can't trust yourself anyway. You know, God has an answer for pharmakia, or pharmaceuticals, drugs. He calls it sorcery in the Bible. That's what you're participating in, sorcery. Modern day witchcraft, amen. All you're doing is setting yourself, because see, that's what Satan wants you to do. You're so out of it that you don't even know when the storm comes. You ain't even concerned about it. And he says, I got another soul. I got you. And see, we got to understand, friends. Now, this next storm could end up in Florida. It could move to the east. It could move to the west, back into the Gulf, and affect those states again, like Mississippi, Carolina. It could affect Louisiana. We don't know where this storm's going to go. That's a physical storm. People's lives are going to be probably lost, no matter what the case is. But having your relationship right with God keeps you from worrying about the storm that may take you out early. See, having your relationship with Jesus Christ means that, Lord, I just want to be prepared. I want to be prepared that if I die, I want to see you. And I want you to say, well done, my good and faithful servant, not depart from me. I never knew you. See, that's the choice. I know it sounds narrow, but God, I would rather have a narrow-minded God that's absolute truth than to be walking around with Satan, the god of deception, who basically wants to lead me on the yellow brick road to hell. You have to ask yourself, which road would you want to be on? Now, I look at faces all the time. I know who the devil's chosen is. I do. I know exactly what they think. I know what he got them thinking. But you know what? Ain't about me and him. It's about them and God. I'm just a mailman. I say that every time we get me. I'm just a mailman. But you know what? One day we all have to stand and give an account. One day we're all going to have to stand and we're going to, everything we heard, every message that we heard, God's going to hold us accountable for it. Not just you, me too. I'm not above anybody. I'm not better than anybody. I tell, this is my motto. I am a zero. Christ is my hero. I have nothing of value that I boast in. Nothing. I am just a zero. But in Christ, that's my hero. That's where my faith lies. I don't trust girl kids. I trust Jesus. You don't trust Daryl Kendrick. Trust Jesus. Make sure Jesus is with me. Because that's all I got to offer you is Jesus Christ. We need to understand, friends, that in these last days, God has made it very obvious that he's trying to get our attention before his imminent return. He wants to get our attention. He wants us to be prepared. He wants us to have a relationship with him that is not only growing, but a relationship that will help others grow. See, being a servant of Christ means that I care about you as much as I care about myself. That's what Jesus was saying. He said, if you love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then love your neighbor as yourself, that's a fulfillment of the commandment, of the greater commandment. See, when we have the attitude that we care about our brothers more than we care about our own, just as much as we care about our own lives, then we're showing them Christian charity. I don't leave my brother behind. I grab him by the hand and say, let's go, bro. Come on. You don't need that. You don't need her. You don't need him. You don't need that. You don't need it. All you need is Jesus. See, we're too busy trying to eat crumbs from Satan's table when Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. Why we won't eat of his table? Do you think the master going to serve you some more dehydrated food? He gives the best. He gives us the best. But if we don't eat at the table, how are you going to get spiritually nutrients? How are you going to get those spiritual nutrients that you and I need to sustain this life, to walk this walk, to live in this world where the devil, the flesh, and the world are out to kill us? How much of Christ really has you? And how much of you do you have of the world? And I know there's some people here striving. Every day it's a challenge. The devil's pulling at you one way. The world is pulling at you another way. Your flesh is pulling at you. I want to encourage you this. The Bible says that He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. If you don't have that in your spirit, You'll let everybody pull at you instead of letting God hold on and grab and hug on you and love on you. And then you have to ask yourself, how much of the word am I eating of on a daily basis? Am I eating the word of God daily? See, being saved doesn't mean we just sit in our chairs and walk our way to heaven. No, being saved means that every day is a challenge, but God has already defeated that day. The Lord is my helper. He's my strength. He's a strong tower I can run into. But you got to run into him. You got to get to him. You can't be running back towards the enemy's camp. And he's shooting at you. You steady running at him. But he's telling you, I love you. That's a lie. There ain't no love, no blood. Yes, he is. So we need to understand, friends, that we have an opportunity right now to get prepared before the next storm comes in our life. We have an opportunity to give it all to Jesus and say, no more to this world. No more will I be used and played and beat up by the cares of this world. No longer will I allow the devil to be my pimp. I'm not going to allow the world to be my pimp. I'm no longer going to allow my flesh to pimp me. But I'm going to be the child that God called me to be. How do I do that? First, I got to surrender it all. I can't just say I'm going to surrender it all. I got to surrender it all. I got to give it up. I got to give me up. I can't just talk about it. I can't just say what Brother Dale told me to pray this prayer. No, I want you to do it because you feel the Lord calling you to do it. I want you to come to Christ because you know and God knows that you need him. He really don't need us. God don't need us, but he wants you. He loves you so much that he sent his son down here to die for you, that you could have life.
Amen.
And he wants you to make a choice to come to him by faith because you know that you need him. You're sick and tired of being sick and tired. You're tired of trying to do it in your own power. You see all of the mess out here? You know that people don't love you. They just want something from you. They want to use you. They want to abuse you and get over on you. God doesn't want to do that to you. He wants to deliver you from all that. He wants you to have the freedom to worship him in spirit and in truth. Not in your own power, but in spirit and in truth. But it's got to be total surrender. God wants you to acknowledge him as your Lord, your Savior. He wants you to come by faith and denying yourself. Whatever you was doing this before you walked in here today, God can wipe that slate clean. He can forgive you of all your sins, and he can make you a child of God. Now, doesn't mean you won't have temptation. Temptation is going to be with us until we get to glory. Being tempted is not the sin. You're not guilty of being tempted. You're only guilty when you allow temptation to draw you back on into that what you know you're tempted of. If I know I'm tempted of something, then I shouldn't go hang out with that. I shouldn't try to court that no more. I don't need to go over to temptation's house and go in there and have a party with temptation if I know that I'm tempted by certain things. See, I didn't have a problem with drugs, so you can't tempt me with that. You can't tempt me with no drugs because I don't have a problem with that. I got 12 pills I take a day. Guess what? They medication. I hate taking them. What I'm talking about, temptation is not the enemy. That's just something we got to deal with. You cannot. You can say no to temptation. But see, you can't say no to nothing without the power of Jesus, without a personal relationship with Jesus. You can't say nothing. You can't say no to not one thing that you tempted to until you are set free and there's a separation between your flesh and God. But you got to have a relationship with God before you can be able to break all those chains. So God wants you to make that choice. He wants you to make a decision for him, a covenant with him. Lord, I no longer want to be in this world and in this flesh no more. I no longer want to live as a slave to what I used to be a slave of. It starts with confession. It starts with you saying, telling the Lord what he already knows about you. He knows your struggle. He knows what you're dealing with. He knows if you really want to let go of it or if you just want to say you want to let go of it. Most people, they'll say, well, I asked the Lord to come in and I still have. No, you just said words. But was the Lord really calling you out of it? Were you really saying yes and surrendering? Can't just have a said faith. We need to let go of all those things and just surrender. Surrender to everything that's not of God. Only way you're going to be free, only way I'm going to be free is for us to surrender. You have to ask yourself, again, if this might be the last day I'm living on this earth, am I ready for the next storm? Am I ready for Jesus Christ? Do I have my relationship in order with him? Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for mercy. We thank you for your compassion, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, that while we were yet sinners, you died for us. And right now, Father, there are some souls right here that their hearts are heavy. And they don't know which way to turn, Lord. So many hands are reaching out to them. But Lord, only one that matters right now is the hand that's reaching from heaven to grab hold of the heart and change them and make them to a new creation. You said, if any man or woman be in Christ, he or she is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, the new is coming. We just pray, Lord God, right now, that you would set some captives free. That somebody here might want to just be set free from the bondage of whatever sin it is. I don't need to know what it is. You know it. They can make a confession of faith. They can confess your name right now, Lord, just by acknowledging that they are sinners. That they know you're the only one that can take away their sin and heal them from all iniquity. And that you can bring them into a right relationship, that they repent and make you their Lord and their Savior. We thank you, Lord God, for this time. We thank you for the word. And we ask, Father God, right now that you bless Jeff B and all the food that was prepared and all the help back there, Lord. We ask, Father God, that you would just food would be prepared for our souls, for our bodies, and the word for us, for our souls. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Not sure really how long it'll be. Anybody like an In Touch magazine? Raise your hand. Definitely a little bit of a magazine by Tristan Dahl. How much time? Well, now? Okay. Oh, Hold on. Those people want
to
talk.
I just wanted to read this down real quick. That's a possibility. Ooh.
Absolutely.
And it's about faith.
Okay.
Brother D, it's impossible to please God without faith.
Amen.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. But I found it very interesting in this, in James. Faith without works cannot be called faith. Faith without works is dead, and dead faith is worse than no faith at all. Faith must work. It must be. It must produce. It must be visible. Visible faith is not enough. Mental faith is insufficient. Faith must be there, but it must be more. It must inspire action. Throughout this epistle to Jewish believers, James integrates true faith and everyday practical faith experiences by stressing that true faith must manifest itself in works of faith. Faith endures trials. Trials come and go. But a strong faith will face them head on and develop endurance. Faith understands temptation. It does not allow us to consent to a lust and slide into sin. Faith obeys the word. It is not merely hear and not do. Faith produces doers. Faith harbors no prudence. For James, faith and favoritism cannot coexist. Faith must display itself in works. Faith is more than mere words. It is more than knowledge. It is demonstrated by the obedience and it overtly responds to the promises of God. Faith controls the tongue. This small, immensely powerful part of the body must be held in check. Faith can do it. Faith acts wisely. It gives us the ability to choose choose wisdom that is heavenly and to shun wisdom that is earthly. Faith produces separation from the world and submission to God. Faith provides us with the ability to resist the devil and humbly draw near to God. I just needed you to hear that, guys.
Yeah.
James.
It's a little commentary from James. Hold on. Back up. In other words, faith causes you to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Not work fully, but because you have faith, it will cause you to work out your salvation. Oh, we ain't coming, we there.
And more fruit, and that is symbolistic through first and second.